My guest today is Koreatown. You can check out myspace.com/Koreatown. That's Koreatown, a.k.a. Angela Korea. We're going to start by playing a track off of her EP, and then we'll get into some interview and some live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. Stick around.
Thank you.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. And my guest is Koreatown. Angela, how are you?
I'm all right this morning. Thanks. How are you?
Sorry to make you come in here early in the morning. At least it's not 1,000 degrees outside. At least it's, I don't know. It's actually kind of harder to get up when it's cold out, huh?
Yeah, but it's sort of nice weather now. I think it's that nice in between where you want to put a scarf on.
We get to wear layers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss it when it's too hot for too long. One of the reasons it's so hard for you to be here so early in the morning is that you had to play a show last night. You're doing a residency at Bordello.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's pretty exciting. I approached Scott from The Fold and asked him if he might be able to help us set up a residency at the Bordello. And he was awesome and totally gave us a night. So we're playing three Wednesdays in November. And I feel really lucky because I got to ask a lot of my favorite bands to play. And so they're really great lineups. Like last night we played with, One Trick Pony, who you know.
It was
pretty fantastic. And then the X-Friends from San Diego is one of my favorite bands ever, with a period. I love their songs. And then we also played with I Make This Sound. And so, like, I don't know, it was exciting. And next week we're playing with, like, Henry Clay People, the Monolators, and the Broken West. And
it makes for a really good show, you know, from your perspective, too, when you're playing with other bands that you really respect and appreciate. Like, it just makes you feel more musical, and, you know, it's nice to surround yourself with musicians that you appreciate.
Yeah, I definitely think it creates a sort of camaraderie. And that's something that I really appreciate quite a lot and that I've come to really love about being in Los Angeles. When I first moved here, I missed it because I moved from San Diego and I'd sort of started to become part of that music community. So I moved here like maybe 5 years ago, and I really felt that void of not knowing anybody, or like going out to shows and not seeing friends that you've seen play, or, you know, going and checking out new bands. But you're just this like little person in the crowd, as opposed to being like, oh, hey, what's up? You know, and maybe that's me just like,
no, there's this sentiment too of sort of like every band for themselves until you, you know, sort of integrate yourself into the community and form alliances with other musicians.
Yeah.
If you're starting out in LA, there's that feeling that it's like,
well, I think, and that's the thing that's really lovely to discover, is that it's not really every band for themselves. Like, there's a really fantastic community of musicians who are so supportive here, and I feel really lucky to get to know them and be a part of that, you know? Because it is really daunting and sort of sad if you think about, like, oh, yeah, just me making my way alone in the city by myself. You know, that's a really screwed up feeling to have. So it's amazing to know that it's not that way. And there are so many great bands in Los Angeles alone. So just, you know, everywhere else, I can only imagine it's the same sort of thing. Because San Diego has that same sort of music community. And I've got friends in Sacramento. I used to play there when I first started playing music. And it's the same way. So it's pretty cool that people support each other and, you know, book shows that they want their friends to play on. And then they bring new friends. And I think that's how music grows.
On the subject of sort of being on your own, you know, it says on your MySpace, Koreatown is Angela Korea, and you know, we were just listening to a track from your EP, and it's a very full, textured sound. Do you have a band that you play with regularly, or do you have just sort of guest people to fill out your sound? How much of it is just you, and how much of it is this project called Koreatown?
Well, previously it was just me, and I played solo for quite a while, so I decided that I was tired of being a band, or just a person's name. I was tired of being myself, rather. And I just wanted sort of the freedom to explore different sounds and not be sort of trapped in that persona of like, oh, Angela Korea, singer-songwriter, folk lady. Like, I was done with that. So I decided, I really liked the idea of Koreatown, and in terms of, it's my last name, but it can be whatever I want it to be. And I feel really lucky because I've got some fantastic people who play with me now. And so we are sort of a band, and I still play solo. I'm going up to Fresno tonight to play, and I'm playing by myself. But it's all sort of like the songs have changed in terms of when you start playing songs with a band and then going back and playing them by yourself, they have a new dimension to them, and you play them differently and sing them differently. So I do have, there's a band that is Koreatown. I think my MySpace said Koreatown is Angela Korea because there was some song or something that was somewhere, and I wanted people to know, like, oh yeah, you found the right place. This is Angela Korea and Koreatown. It's all kind of the same deal. So,
but are you ready to jump into a live song?
Sure, yeah.
It's interesting because I get a lot of that on this show. Is sort of, you know, we get to listen to the CD and then we break it down and do an acoustic performance. And it really is, you know, it's the same material, but it's completely different material based on the vibe and the atmosphere and everything.
Yeah, it definitely takes a new little life of its own when you play it in a different sort of format. Is this cool?
Yeah. Well, what are you going to play first?
I think that I'm going to play Racing Tides for you. Which is it's on this new EP that I'm putting out in January, but it's available at the residency, just because I like the idea of letting people who actually come out to your shows have something special before everyone else can get it.
Nice. Yeah. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Koreatown. Good surprise ending. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Koreatown. It's interesting, you know, that you commented earlier on how you know you weren't satisfied with just doing the singer-songwriter folksy cafe thing, and you can hear it in your music. There's a kind of structural integrity to it that lends itself to, you know, a fuller sound, you know, more of a project than just a girl and a guitar. What came for you first? Was it the guitar or the singing?
It's always been the singing that came first. So the guitar's always been a struggle.
Did you just start singing as a kid and then you're like, you know, I really need to learn how to play guitar to complement this? Or
yeah, well, actually, I learned to play music as a kid because my parents were fantastic and encouraged me to join band, and my mom had me take piano lessons, which I, of course, didn't stick with, and what she told me, you will regret this.
Piano lessons are the number one cause of guitar playing, really? From what I can tell.
Well, I do regret that I didn't stick with it, but it was so boring. I think at the time, you know, they just had kids learning stupid, like the farmer and the dough on piano. It was not very exciting, so my mind just needed to do more, and at the time I was like, I think that it's drums, Mom. So I started to play drums and band, and I started with the clarinet. I think I just don't have patience. If I'm not very good at something, then I just move on to what I need to find that I can maybe be better at or something. So.
And when did you first start actually writing your own songs?
I didn't really start writing songs until high school, which is probably, I think, a path that a lot of people have. But I'd been in band, you know, growing up, and I'd always sung and been in, like, music projects, you know, where you, like, sing with a group of girls and do little dance moves and perform. But it wasn't until high school that I started hanging out with a couple of friends, and we had the idea that it would be fun to sort of, like, to actually to sing for our senior follies. So we learned Working Class Hero by John Lennon, and I played the guitar, and I'd never played it before, so they had me play like a bass line, and I essentially played, you know, whoops, I played just the lowest notes possible, and I was terrible, but we had a lot of fun, and we were, you know, in our minds, the hit of the senior follies, so that sort of, I think, put me on that trajectory of, oh, wow, like, I want to write my own songs, and I'd always been writing and been creative and did art and theater, and so I think it was sort of like a natural progression.
Did you have a sense of what you wanted to write about when you started, or is it something that kind of evolved with time?
I think that that's definitely evolved. I've always sort of wrote about, this sounds like such a female thing to say, but like my internal life. But no, really, I mean, I think I've had people tell me, which has always come as a surprise to me because I don't think I really look at my writing and try and like figure out like what does it mean. But there have been people who've been like, I've noticed that you write about communication a lot and that you write. And it's true. Like I do. I write about how I move through the world with others and like how I interact with others and like the things that people have said that have impacted me greatly and sort of shaped my life or, you know, taken me to a place I maybe wish I hadn't have gone when it's criticism. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So I think I probably overwhelmingly write about the way I interpret the world around me and what people are saying. But I think a lot of people do that. It's just through using different imagery and different, you know, levels of, I don't know, being more obvious about it or being more sort of closeted and you know, alluding to ideas by using other ideas that they're buried within and stuff. So
do songs sort of just come out of you and you got to quickly write them down, or do you plan ahead, set aside a time to work out a song, and do you follow each one through to the end, or do you have a lot of unwritten, unfinished songs?
Oh yeah, I'm bad. I have lots of fragments of songs, but I think that that's maybe my process. I'm not like very methodical in terms of, I have so much respect for people who can sit down every day and find the time to write or work on a song specifically. But I find that if I do that, I get really frustrated with what I have at the end. So instead, I just work on pieces and fragments, and then I try and write them down or remember them, or I like record them in little snippets. And then I find that later the pieces come together with something a couple months later that it's like I finally found its little mate, its little friend, and it was meant to hang out with it forever, and that was the song.
What usually comes for you first, though? Is it the tune or the idea of the song, the lyrical content?
You know, it totally depends. Like, it definitely, there have been songs that have come from an idea, a song, Super Paper Airplanes, for example, that I have. Definitely came because I was at a bookstore with a friend and we were wandering around and I noticed this little box of of paper airplanes, and it was called Super Paper Airplanes. It was like a kit to make paper airplanes, as if you need a kit to make paper airplanes. Yeah, and that thought was just so strange to me. And of course, it was like a gigantic bookstore that needed to sell things to people that they didn't really need. So I think that initial idea sort of like took root in my mind. And then I was sort of going through a period of my life where I was having a bit of difficulty, you know, believing that I was maybe supposed to be playing music or that I was good enough to do it. And I had this one night, I'm telling you the story of this song, sorry. But
no, it's fine. It's interesting.
I had gone to bed, and I was working at this coffee shop, actually, this like bakery here in LA, and I had to get up really early in the morning. So it was always stressful when I'd go to bed. Like, if I didn't fall asleep, I would be totally messed up the next day, you know? So I was fitfully tossing and turning in my sleep, and it just, this song came to me, and it's weird, but I just sat up in bed and decided to, you know, give up the idea of getting enough sleep that night. And I worked out this little song in an hour, and wrote it down. And the next morning, you know, went to work, and I couldn't even look at anybody in the eye because I just like poured out this thing.
You'd gone through this big emotional experience, huh?
Yeah. And it's funny. And then it's not always that way. Like, other songs sort of are definitely more cerebral and less emotional. Like, you know, there's an idea that I get and I want to explore it, and so I sort of flesh it out and then sort of fit the melody to music, or vice versa, have like some sort of like little, you know, chord progression that I like, and a melody comes out of that. Lately, I've found that writing is hard for me, but I think it's because my time has become like more and more and more taken up by a myriad of things. Mm-hmm. And so like finding the right words or being able to express, you know, very cohesively the idea that I have for something is more difficult. So I think now that's what my challenge is being able to like have enough time to read and to like check out art, or to like wander around my neighborhood and notice all the crap on the ground and have that filter into my writing.
It's interesting how the most subjective songs, they seem to be triggered by things that you notice that sort of remind you about yourself. Like, you saw this sort of out of place paper airplane thing in a bookstore at the same time that you were thinking about, you know, where is your place in the music community, you know, and something about those two things happening at the same time, like, pulled a song out of you, you know?
It's interesting. I mean, gosh, if I had it figured out, I'd be so excited. But I mean, it is sort of just this little oddity that comes and goes, and I work on it, and it's something that I really love and I want to become better at. But
well, you don't want to ever completely figure it out, because then you lose all the music.
Yeah,
then it's just work.
The magic of it.
Yeah. Let's listen to another track from the CD you brought in. This is this is an EP people can get when they go see you perform, right?
Yeah. So what John has in his hands is it's a hand screened 3-song EP, and I have a full-length album that's done, but I'm not ready to put it out yet. So the EP is what's going to be coming out officially in January, and there's a limited edition of those hand-screen printed EPs, and I did the artwork for them. And
it's great.
Yeah, I had friends who were so kind as to sit around with me in hot glue on a couple evenings, and then we stuffed them. But yeah, that is available if anyone happens to come out to the residency. And also just like any shows that I might be playing in the next month or two.
Cool. So we'll go ahead and play Racing Tides then?
Why don't we play All the World?
Okay. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Koreatown. Stick around. Thank you.
I'm fire. Tell me I'm cold. Cold, oh, I tell myself over, over and over again. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to believe. And all the world.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org, hanging out with Koreatown. We were talking a little bit while we were listening to that song about sort of finding musicians to play with and creating your band. And one of the challenges is sort of you want to find people who have their own ideas that can enhance your music and your musical vision. But at the same time, they have to get what you're doing, and they can't be there just to impose, you know, their way of doing music on you. Tell me about that process, finding people to work with and developing the full band sound.
Well, I was pretty lucky because when I started recording and I went in and worked with Raymond Richards, who has his studio over in Rancho Park, Red Rockets Glare, and he had suggested some people who would record with me, and they ended up becoming friends, and one of them, you know, by coincidence, like, lives downstairs from me.
Nice.
Yeah. And those guys ended up being like Rob and Brian from the Broken West. And then later Ross came in and played some guitar, and then the whole band played on one track on the album. But then, so when we started recording, I had always heard all the sounds that ended up being on the album in my head, you know, like the songs really fleshed out, but I didn't ever have a band, obviously. And so then after we got through, like, maybe halfway through the recording process, I was thinking, man, I probably, like, should start playing as a band and, you know, integrate all of these sounds and not be like this chick with her backing band, but have it be like a band sound, which is what I feel like the album really reflects. It's like very, it's not just about like, oh, here's this like girl with the songs and we put some music around her to fill it out. I really think that the melodies and the music are an integral part of it. So Raymond was fantastic and actually was sort of helped me put a band together, just in terms of he had some ideas of people to ask. Because every time I'd asked people previously, they'd already been in like three bands. I'd be like, I love how you play the drums. Can you want to play with me?
And
they'd
be like, I can't be in another band.
Yeah. They're like, oh, well, you know, I hope it wasn't that they didn't really want to play with me. But they always used the excuse that they were already in like five other bands, which I accepted. So
it's a commitment. You don't want to just be in someone's band and then drop out and
totally.
You know, affect their music and then leave them hanging.
Yeah, because you know you practice and like my goodness, like as the band that we are right now, we've been practicing for like a number of months, and we have so many songs to learn and to tighten up. And it's just especially if you have people like all the people in the band. There's Wendy Wang, who as you know is in the Sweetheart, who's just
very talented.
Oh, so talented. She's fantastic. And she's such a great person to be around and just the most wonderful musician on her own right. So Wendy plays bass, and then Raymond Richards plays guitar, and he's in the Idaho Falls and, of course, engineers and produces lots of albums for people. And then Rob Pointer plays the drums, and he's in another band called the Harpeth Trace. So everybody in this band is already in another band, so I think we all just have a really great time playing together. It was pretty exciting the first time we even got together and practiced, because you could tell there was a really great dynamic and chemistry, and everyone was just like excited to be playing. And
do you write the material sort of with them in mind, knowing their talents and what they specialize in, or do they come in and sort of come up with what they think they should do?
Well, thus far, the songs that we are playing have really been sort of fleshed out in the studio. And so there's already these like sort of like patterns for them to like pick up on and play. You know, like there are like really nice little riffs and whatnot that it would be great if those could come through. But I've always sort of had the idea that I love for people to be able to make music their own. So, you know, if there's something that they come up with that they feel better about and it sounds great, like I'm happy if it sounds good and it feels good, you know. But the new songs that I've been working on and writing, I definitely like have in mind that we're playing as a band. And I don't know, Wendy is a sick bassist. That girl can like play some like crazy bass lines. So I have definitely in my mind been thinking about like busier bass lines, only because man, I love that. I love the bass. It's so fun. So then to have someone who can just really like tear it up. And Raymond,
you gotta
throw
challenges at her.
Yeah. So, but it's going to be fun as we start working on some new songs, that haven't been recorded to really allow people to be able to explore what they want to play in it, you know. And I don't know, I think that we all really just respect each other and like listen to what the other has to say. I'm always asking, like, what do you guys think about this? What do you think about that? So it's definitely, I hope it doesn't feel like a dictatorship.
You'll find out after the show.
Yeah,
they'll email you.
Definitely is a dictatorship.
You ready to do another live song?
Sure.
What would you like to play?
Maybe I'll do a song called Green Cotton Dress.
All right, whenever you're ready. My guest is Koreatown. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Saturday night, sun has gone down, bar lights are up, all my friends, they are going. Come on down. So Saturday night, put my gold high heels on, wear the green cotton dress handed down from my mama. But I don't wanna go Saturday night, I call up a cab, it takes me down to the place where all my friends, they are drinking
That was incredible. That was really, really good.
Thank you.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Koreatown, myspace.com/Koreatown, CORREATOWN. Is MySpace the place to go to get the most up-to-date info on what you're doing?
It is. It's pretty much the place.
Cool. So let's talk a little bit about performing live. What was like the first time you got up there on a stage? And I guess it, for you, it's sort of been two things. One was getting up the first time being like, hi, I'm Angela Korea, and these are my songs. And then later you sort of had a rebirth in the full Koreatown sound, and that was almost, I guess, a different experience. Tell me about those two experiences, sort of getting up on stage.
Well, let's see. It was actually, you know, I was in a band when I was like 18 or 19, and that was really my first experience getting up on stage. And it was a friend of myself who wrote the songs, and we were called Chocolate Honey Monkey, which is a really funny
Chocolate
name.
Honey Monkey?
Yeah.
That's
and
awesome.
It was in Sacramento, and we were such, like, we were an acoustic pop folk band before we knew that that's what we were. Very much inspired, unfortunately, by the Indigo Girls and and then indie rock, because then we had boys in the band who swung us, you know, away from our duetting roots. So that first experience of actually just getting up and being part of band was just fantastic, in terms of I didn't have to do anything other than sing, which is sort of what comes really easily to me. Playing guitar and singing at the same time was sort of the challenge. So after that little period in my life, I went off to college and I was away living in San Diego, and I would go out to shows and I would get this like pain in my chest, you know, watching bands play. 'Cause it was sort of like, you aren't doing that and you really want to, mm-hmm. why don't you just do it? And I always sort of thought, well, when I have a band again, or, you know, when I'm part of a band, or when I meet the right people and we form a band, like in my mind, it was this thing, you had to have a band to play. 'Cause that's maybe sort of how I started out. And I wrote songs, but I never played the songs. And it wasn't that I think once or twice I tried to play guitar in the old band, and like I lost my pick and had to use my fingers and made the strings bloody. And it was just, it was a nightmare, and I wasn't very good at it. I had, you know, had learned to play guitar like 6 months earlier or something. So it sort of made me feel like maybe I couldn't do it. So I started getting this idea, well, if you could just learn to play guitar and sing at the same time, maybe you could actually do it. And so that's sort of what I set my mind to when I was living in San Diego and started. I'd always been writing songs, but, you know, writing and singing and playing in your bedroom are totally different from doing it in front of people. As so many, I mean, there's musicians everywhere, you know, who don't necessarily get out and play shows. Like, everybody really probably has music within them if they really, like, suss it out. But
and for you, was it as much a desire to perform as it was a desire to share your music? Because with some bands, it's like, well, I have these songs, and no one's going to hear them if I don't perform them live. So I have to get out and, you know, perform sort of as an extension of distribution. Whereas some musicians are like, you know what, it's really important for me to be on stage and have that feeling of being on stage and performing.
You know, that is a tricky question, because it could make you sound like a complete narcissist if you're honest. But
you think? I don't know.
Just a little bit. But no, I do think there's definitely, I wasn't playing music as much as I'd wanted to, and so I started playing music. But it definitely, there was a sort of desire to get out and sort of make it more like real beyond the confines of my bedroom walls. Mm-hmm. Like my first album actually that I made on my own in like 2002 was called like Red Room Songs, and it was these songs that I'd just been playing in my bedroom, which the walls were painted all red. So I'd just been playing and playing and playing them in my bedroom, and I finally thought like, okay, it's time. You're mm-hmm. going to go out and you're going to like sing these songs like to someone other than your roommate, you know?
Right.
And I guess there's for me at least, a different feeling when you're playing and people are listening, and there's like some sort of, it sounds really cheesy, but it just like, I stop remembering that I'm singing and I'm playing guitar, and it just like, it feels just so good that you can't help it. And I think there is something about that. Like I was talking to somebody, I'm totally not answering your whole question yet. Sorry.
No, you are. You just don't know it.
But I was talking to someone just last night about how they're going through maybe a little bit of a hard time, and someone in their life is having a hard time, and he was out on tour when he like was thinking about it, and playing music actually like made him feel better, like just throwing himself into the music and what he was doing. And I really think it's because like it creates these sound waves that like mm-hmm. bounce in and around and all over the place. And like when you're singing, like there's that vibration in your chest. And I can't tell you how many times like I've been really stressed out and really like anxious about something, and I'll just go in my room and like pick up my guitar and I'll just start playing and singing to try and just like put my mind on something else. And the next thing I know, I feel so much better.
Sure.
And I really think it has something to do with music and singing and what it does. It's like in your body, and it's this thing that you're like, you're creating sound with your body, and it sort of like calms you down in a way. And it can also like freak you out if you're like, ah, you know, doing well, something else. But
it changes the way you breathe too, you mm-hmm. know, which is a big part of bringing you down, centering you, and, you know, not to sound too holistic.
Yeah,
or
no,
anything,
but it's true. Oh, I'm a holistic freak. Oh, don't get me started. I love all that crystal liquor stuff. But yeah, so I guess my first real desire was to just get out and be able to like play my guitar and sing a song at the same time. And it's so funny, I just saw my old roommate. I drove up to Davis this week to play some shows, and she came along with me for the ride, and we were talking about it, and she was like, I remember when you first moved in and I asked you if you played music because you had a guitar, and you sort of went like, I play sometimes, and now look at you play music all the time. And It is a different sort of feeling to know that like I had this idea of just wanting to play like a song at an open mic. Mm-hmm. And then from that I was like, okay, now I want to play a show. If I could just get a whole show, maybe someone will give me a show. And then, you know, progressing from that to them playing a lot more often, playing by myself. And then I started playing with Tom Brousseau, and we would sing duets together in a band called Les Shelleys. And I don't know, it just, I think at that moment, I realized, like, I love playing with other people as well. There's something very wonderful about playing by yourself, because you can take a song wherever you want it. You can bring it down, or you can stop, or you can change it, or you can move the direction. It's very, like, malleable, and you can do whatever you want, depending on, like, how you're feeling in that moment. And that's very liberating and freeing. But there's also something so transcendent about, like, connecting with somebody and sharing like this musical thing, and you like kind of are feeling each other out as you're playing it. And
you're sort of having a dialogue on stage.
Exactly. And whether it's because, you know, you've rehearsed it so much that you don't even have to think it anymore, which is kind of the case with Tom. Like, he and I haven't played together for months and months, but I know that if we were in the room together, like, we would just not have any problem slipping back and playing the songs that we've been playing for years together, because we like have played them so many times. Mm-hmm. It's like in my, you know, my muscle memory or something.
Right.
But I think that experience really made me realize I really want to play with other people too. So I've been pretty lucky to get to collaborate with a lot of people. I've played with like a friend, Joni Mendenhall, who's in the X-Friends. Like, we have a side project together called The Low Standards, and that's so much fun to get to collaborate with someone, not only musically, but in writing as well. And then have like a full band that's playing and filling out all those sounds. But now as well, like with Koreatown, I'm finding like the right people and finding people that I really mesh with and getting to play on stage and have this great full sound. And it's just, it's like being inside this really lovely little hurricane.
It's nice. It sounds like a song title or something. Let's listen to a track from this forthcoming album.
Okay.
That you're gonna drop on us one day. what track do you recommend?
Let's see. Why don't we listen to India Ink? I think that's number 6.
All right. Stick around. You're listening to Koreatown on Is Good on killradio.org. We'll be right back.
Your arms, black India ink. Cut fast, cut deep. 2 fingers of whiskey, 3 hours of sleep. Give it up for some love. Give it up for some love. Love.
And we're back on Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Koreatown, and we are joined by a very special guest, Erica Rose of Erica Rose and the dot, dot, dots. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Thanks for dropping in. You and Angela and several other talented female musicians in the LA independent music scene are working on a project called I Heart, and we have you here today to talk about that a little bit. Tell me what it is.
I Heart is a nonprofit foundation that I started with Laura Martin, Abby Kincaid, two other ladies that are in the dot, dot, dots and also have very cool projects of their own. And we're on the road together, and we're actually in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and stumbled across this calendar up on the wall of a bar. And we're like, wow, that's a really good idea, you know. And it looked like it had all musicians, female musicians, and so we thought, you know, we should do that in LA and we could do a compilation. And sure enough, the girl that did the calendar was at our show that night and we met her. And wow. They did pretty much about the same thing. And wow. Yeah, we talked to her and she was so excited about the idea of us doing it as well and expanding efforts. She did it for Hurricane Katrina victims. And so we came back and we said, you know what? It's August, but screw it, we're going to get it done. And we rallied the troops and decided that we're going to do local Los Angeles charities. And this time around, the calendar, which I guess I should say it's a 1940s style pinup girl calendar with a compilation CD. And all the proceeds are going to go to Sojourn Services for Battered Women and Their Children, as well as we're doing like a scholarship for a young girl to go to Silver Lake Music Conservatory.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, this whole idea of helping people, I've heard of it, but it doesn't come up a lot, especially in the sort of dog-eat-dog independent scene where everyone's struggling to make it themselves.
Very
to
true.
Kind of join forces with other people in that same boat and apply it towards helping someone.
Yeah, we thought it would be nice, too, to, you know, to be able to do something with whatever leverage we have as artists, because, you know, we all talk about, well, when I reach this level of success, I'll do X, Y, and Z to give back, but why not do it now? You know, do what you can with what you have now. And so that's what we thought iHeart would be about. And this is our first project, but we're hoping to do all kinds of different artistic endeavors and just create product that people would want to buy anyway.
Was it an easy process to find the musicians to set up this project? Like, could you just give Angela a call? And
yeah, honestly, it was really easy because we, you know, we picked the people that we knew from around town that we were like, these are amazing artists and we want them to be a part of it. Because, you know, ideally we wanted, you know, people that really just had a cool vibe about them, were great musicians and would just be fun to work with. And literally, like, the people we asked, we figured, you know, some would be into it, some wouldn't be. It was like first choices, you know. It was
nice.
It went really smoothly, and yeah. So Angela was definitely one of those first choices, because Angela and I have known each other through Highland Grounds, you know, for a while now, and I've always loved her music. You know, you get people's CDs, like, you know, that you've met, like friends and stuff like that. And sometimes, like, you know, it's like you don't listen to those as much, but her CD made it into my rotation.
Nice.
Like, I bought it at the store. So
Yeah. I have the same sort of experience with the show. It's like that, you know, I love all the musicians that I've had on the show. I've invited them on there for that reason. But of those 100 or whatever musicians, there's a handful of them that I actually, you know, carry around with me in the car.
Exactly.
And, you know. It's interesting. Where can people get more information on iHeart? And is there a way for people to get involved?
Yeah, well, you could go to our MySpace, which is myspace.com/iHeartIndieRock. And it's just spelled out heart, spelled out, and no hyphen in indie rock. it's important information. And yeah, all the info is on the MySpace page. And also, really quick, have to mention that we're having our launch party for the calendar.
Yeah, it's
on November 15th. And pretty much most of the ladies are going to be playing. There's 10 of us playing that night. And iHeart's going to have the whole evening. Doors open at 7 at the Hotel Cafe.
Nice.
And there's going to be a DJ later that evening. So it'll go till bar closes. So come buy a calendar. They're relatively inexpensive, $20. You get a CD, a calendar, and it all goes to the charities. So.
And are you going to sort of see how this calendar thing works out and then decide from then on if you're going to do more projects with iHeart?
We're
are you already certain
it.
That it's...
We're already talking. A friend of mine wanted to do a compilation of, you know, 60s, 70s, you know, torch ballads, and do, you know, a Songs for Change compilation. Mm-hmm. Everyone's brainstorming iHeart projects at
a
this
Hanukkah
point.
Album, maybe?
A Hanukkah, definitely, yes.
Well, the possibilities are endless. It
Feel
sounds
free
like...
to write us at myspace/iHeartIndieRock and suggest awesome. A new project.
What aside from the November 15th Hotel Cafe launch, are there any shows that you want to announce? People who are participating in iHeart, yourself, that are performing soon?
Yeah, are you playing soon?
Yes, I'm playing on November 28th at Crane's, doing that. So please come to that. And Abby Kincaid, who plays lead guitar in my band, has a project called Penny Relentless, and she is actually playing that night as well at Crane's. And I wish I could remember some of the other girls' shows off the top of my head, but the cool thing is we've listed
you
them
all on that MySpace.
On MySpace, yeah. On the MySpace, yeah. So you can go check out what everybody's doing. And yeah, definitely go see every single show listed, please.
Cool. Erica, thanks for dropping in and letting us know about this awesome
no problem.
Project.
Thank you for having us. And thank you, Angela, for being a part of it all.
Oh, my gosh. I was just so flattered when you even asked me. And then freaked out. What? A pinup calendar?
And then did that work out okay for you, though? Like sort of the experience of
I'll
doing
say,
that?
I'll jump in and say she looks hot.
It was a wonderful experience, and everybody was so fantastic. The hair and makeup girls were so nice, and the photographer.
Yeah, Larissa Underwood, amazing. She's in our top friends.
Incredible
you
photography.
Check out her photography if you get a chance, because it's really very cool. She's great, and such a nice girl, too.
So nice, yeah. But you girls really deserve a hand. It's a great thing. It's actually sort of inspired me in terms of I'm going to have the EP release at Pear Space on the 25th of January, mm-hmm. and I think... I'm going to donate all the proceeds from like my EP sales, and I'm trying
awesome.
To figure out where I'm going to donate them. But
that's
it's
great.
Definitely like that's what you would hope for, that, you know, that you inspire people to do things and you already have.
It does so. Seem like it's one of the I've heard it's pretty rare, but I've heard of some other similar ideas where independent musicians get together and they raise funds for a project they believe in. And the cool thing about it is not only do they end up helping the project, you know, and the charity that they're supporting, but they end up in one way or another helping each other, either just by inspiring them to write music together or doing shows together. Like it's a selfless
community.
Act, but there are benefits from it, which is great.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think that everyone coming together has been, it's been good for everyone involved. I mean, it's a way in which everyone gets a chance to, you know, do what they do best, you know, and create, and be it, you know, the makeup hair girls, the photographer, the musicians, and at the same time, yeah, they get to give back. So I think it's kind of like a win-win situation, which is great.
Cool. So it's myspace.com/iHeartIndieRock.
Exactly.
All right. So everybody check it out. Erica, thanks for dropping by.
Thank you.
And you, I'm not done with you.
Okay.
Koreatown. Would you like to play a song for us?
Yeah.
What would you like to play?
Okay. I was trying to remember if I could remember the chords to this, but I'm going to play a song called Far, Far Away.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay.
We were talking about our youth, bedtime tales, quiet lullabies at night. Though my daddy's voice was fine, he couldn't sing, but he still tried. He called me sweet Angeline, he kissed me goodnight. Talking about our youth, Sunday best, and long car rides home at night. Pile in, settle down, it's a long way to Grandma's town through Orchard Trees. they slide by. Oh, I think about it now, running in the yard after church, let out with all my childhood friends. Patent leather shoes and a frilly dress, a game of tag, it was enough, I guess. I didn't ever care back then. Oh, 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 oh. Stars that fall, I threw money to water from a savings jar. Oh, I still believe you wished upon a star. You made it fall, far, 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 far away from me. Far, far, far away from me. Far, far, far away.
That's something else.
Thanks. I felt like I was blowing the mic away.
No, I had my finger on the on the channel there, because I could tell it was going. And a lot of your songs seem to have that quality where there's this. It starts off with this sort of like, this is a gentle song, I'm telling this story, and then it has this build up, and it does have a climax to it that you know it's good. You know, it's not boring, and it doesn't just fit, you know, the same formula every time. You have to. It encourages you to listen because you don't know where it's going to go, but you know it's not going to stay where it is. Do you sort of think about that when you're writing, sort of like, okay, I'm going to, you know, while you're writing a song and say, well, I'm going to change it up here or move it in this direction, or does it just sort of come out the way it comes out?
I do try and think about the dynamics of where a song's going to go and sort of like the little ride it's going to take you on. But it definitely, like when I'm playing live, especially when I'm by myself, it just sort of is however I seem to feel at that particular place in the song. Like, I don't think I've ever gotten like really quiet in that far, far away part at the end, like right before the big build. I think I always do it differently every time. But that's kind of my thing too, is I feel like, I guess I feel sort of guilty if people keep coming out to seeing me play and I'm playing the same songs. If I'm just playing them the same way all the time, maybe they'll be bored or something. Which
so you feel like you owe them more of a presentation.
I don't know, which may not be the case. I keep getting people asking me, like, when are you going to play that song again? And I keep thinking, aren't you tired of that one? Like, I've heard it for years. But, yeah, so for me, I find it more interesting to sort of, like, feel it out as I'm playing it and give it its own little life in that moment.
Well, and you must get tired of the songs, too, sometimes. If you've played it a lot, not tired of it like you don't like the song anymore, yeah. but you can't play it the same way every time, because if you're not up there enjoying it and doing something organic, then the audience will be able to tell.
Yeah, I think if I was just playing it like on autopilot every time, it wouldn't translate the same way. So I definitely am sort of invested in the song as I'm playing it, and that sort of gives it a new life each time that I do it. Not to sound too pretentious or anything, like I give it a new life each time. But I don't know, I'm usually just struggling to remember the songs, so
just to remember the songs. Well, do you think you can make it through one more song before we run out of time?
Oh yeah, I'd love to.
Cool. Totally. All right, what would you like to play?
I'll play Nightlight.
Okay, whenever you're ready. My guest is Koreatown. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
It's appropriate that they're screeching outside. In the meantime, while sitting here waiting, I can feel my hope fading because you're all gone. In the meantime, I'll make believe that just maybe your heart was just mending damage so long ago, done. So just keep me waiting. Oh, I'd like an nightlight to burn for me one day. In the meantime, yeah, I'll sit silent and listen. We'll be right back.
Angela, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And let's see, you have a lot of shows coming up. I know you're taking off to Fresno today to perform there, and then you have the rest of your Bordello residency, and of course the iHeart Hotel Cafe show on November 15th. So keep in touch and let us know when we can start playing tracks from your new album on the air.
You can play them now.
Okay. All right, good. Well, then I'll do that. I'll do that then. Well, let us know when people can go buy it then.
Okay.
And thanks so much. Again, it's myspace.com/Koreatown, Correatown.
Thanks so much.